Rising up from the cornfields of the Midwest, a new voice is being heard. We are taxed like no others. From a state synonymous with corruption, producing convicted felons from our governors at unprecedented rates.
As the former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich,
prison tonight. Convicted. George Ryan begins a 6.5-year prison term.
Coming to you from Peoria, Illinois, this is the Liberty Plays podcast. Hosted by everyone's favorite downstate Illinois Libertarian chapter, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Featuring news, commentary, and interviews with local, state, and national libertarians working to make a difference for everyone. Welcome to the show.
The Liberty Plays podcast contains opinions and commentary from the hosts and guests that may educate, illuminate, or offend. You may or may not like what they say. The editorial views of this podcast do not represent the official position of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and should not be quoted or rebroadcast as such.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Liberty Plays podcast. It's the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Peoria County, but it's also the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Tazewell County. All newly formed tonight. It is January 28th. It is directly after the meeting of the former Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. I'm Eric Stahl, and I'm going to go around the room, around the table. Directly to my left with me is...
Hello, everybody. I'm Jacob Irish, the newly elected vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Tazewell County.
And I am Donnie Henry. I'm the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and now the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Peoria County.
And I forgot to introduce myself as the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Tazewell County.
Woo!
Yay, man. We're all party royalty here, apparently. So, what we're going to do, like we do in every Liberty Place podcast, we'll talk a little bit about tonight's meeting, and then we'll talk a little bit about the issues of the day. Hopefully you enjoyed the show 2 weeks ago. This meeting was a Zoom meeting, but we had great turnout, Donnie.
Yeah.
Which is you didn't expect for a January
I did
meeting.
Not. Yeah. Yeah. We were 10 minutes to go. We had like four people, and then it exploded.
Yeah. So. We were afraid we wouldn't have enough votes for a quorum.
Right. But we did.
Yeah. So we start off the meeting. Donnie talked a little bit about stocks, and we'll get into that later in the meeting. But I was impressed with the breadth of your knowledge on, you know, short selling and everything. Did you brush up on that?
Well, I had to brush up a little. But no, I do a little trading. I work on the Robinhood app and stuff.
Got it. All right. We'll talk more about that. Okay. So the big deal tonight and the reason we all have our newly appointed crowns is because we had elections. Because of the success of the elections in 2020, we had to form a new party. Well, actually, a formal party in Tazewell County and break away from Peoria County. It was almost, we were just like a symbiotic relationship, and now we split like an atom or a cell.
We birthed you.
Kind of. So the elections, that was different. We had a bunch of people that had been working together with the Greater Peoria Party. And now we've had to, like, break up the band.
Yep.
And we made two bands.
But, you know, the partnership, I don't think could... I mean, how could it be any stronger? Like, are there two libertarian parties that can work together, like the Tazewell and Peoria counties will work together?
I don't think a river can keep us apart.
I don't think so either. Taxes, maybe.
Taxes definitely keep us apart. It's the reason I'm losing everyone.
No, it's great. I mean, I was so on your team, you got yourself, and then your vice is now Dana.
Dana Olson, yeah.
All right, the treasurer position's open, and secretary
is Eve, the lovely Eve Wash.
Yeah. Dana stepping up to vice, that's going to be awesome.
It's a huge deal, and you know what? To be honest with you, it's something that I've always thought that if Jacob were to move, because I knew you were thinking about it a while back, I just said she would be perfect. I asked her, and I thought she was going to say no.
Yeah,
and she was all about it. So
really,
awesome. Yeah. So I'm very excited to have her on the team, and I need her expertise. I mean, that marketing mind is. I mean, she came up with Liberty Plays.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and she also brings a statewide perspective too, because she's been involved with state.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. And so on our side, we got myself as president, Jake as vice president, and for treasurer, we have Teresa Miller, and she's been a long time member of Greater Peoria. And we got Damon Dillon as our secretary. Man, I mean, I'm rock star territory. I mean, except for myself, but anyway. But I'm looking forward to this. It's great. We actually didn't bring this up in the meeting, but we had a Tazewell County meeting last week. We had a Zoom call, kind of. And,
we did.
Yeah. Went great. You know what? We all worked together. I think we're going to do pretty well. I'm not too worried about anything.
Yeah, I think our focuses are appropriate for our new status.
Yeah.
And
No, I think I think you guys have so. I mean, the sky's the limit for you guys. I think that, especially with the election that just happened, being a predominantly Republican county, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on you guys. And if you do this right, man, maybe I need to move over there.
So, well, we'll definitely make space for you. Yeah. Make it easier to do those podcasts.
Yeah.
All right, but the good news. Peoria, everything opened up. We're in, well, for right now, for this month, we're in zone 2.3. Or so you can eat inside, but you know, only if there's 20 people in the room or something. I don't know how it all works. But we're planning on having a real meeting at W.E. Sullivan's in Peoria Heights in February.
Yes, absolutely. This is exciting.
The meeting room's open? You talk to those guys?
Yes, okay. I talked to them. It sounds like we're going to be good, but we'll obviously make sure that that's good. But I'm done with the Zoom meetings. That's about it. You know, we had to do what we had to do, but at this point, we're moving forward.
Yeah, if someone's not comfortable coming, right, they don't have to. I don't think we have any plans to do
any live
version. Do you think we...
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, we're just now deciding this on the
spot. Yeah, we're on the show.
You guys get to hear our planning.
This is a meeting of the minds here.
Yeah, there was one point where, you know, before COVID, we did it, and then we were like, no, you got to be here.
Okay,
and now maybe it's appropriate if we did do it.
Do you guys know what ended the streaming? Did I ever tell you guys what ended
the
streaming?
I'm aware of what ended the streaming.
Yeah, well,
the Weaver one.
So we were streaming, and Chuck Weaver, the state senator, was there. And I'll just tell the story. He's not in office anymore. And we had the stream.
The farm.
We had the stream going, and all of a sudden he walks in front of it, and basically for about 10 minutes it was on his crotch, and so we decided that maybe we weren't the best at taping these things, and so maybe we need to figure out a better way to do it.
Well, maybe it's still on Zoom. We just have a laptop at the front of the room.
Yeah,
easy done.
Yeah, or we could, you know, what they do with the Tazewell County is they just basically do a live stream on their Facebook page. Just
are you using Tazewell counties as our
I'm
example?
I'm telling you, that's a
hey, it's better than the crotch shot.
It's $100 million, you know, financial institution that runs a phone in the corner of the room, and we could set it up in the corner of the room, just have a live stream going. So
let's do it,
and then we could share it amongst other groups. So. I don't think it's a bad thing. Nothing happens in those meetings. It's that we're even worried about. You know, the Zoom meeting tonight is a perfect example. We had 20 some people. Did we have almost 20 people in there? And no goofiness. Everybody was respectful. So our meetings at W. Sullivan's are even more, I think, contained.
Yeah. It's no. Good. And I think we always have really good discourse with each other. It's good.
Yeah. All right. So the meat and potatoes of this meeting, and what took probably 45 minutes of it was Aaron Chess, who's running for city council in Peoria, was our special guest, and he spoke and he answered a lot of questions. I'm just going to start off right off the bat, and I'm going to tell you, this Aaron Chess, from the Aaron Chess that I met 2 years ago, was like a young lad and now a man.
AC 2.0.
Yeah.
I mean,
dude, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I was compelled.
Very articulate and on point. He definitely has a plan for the first district. Yeah. And definitely, would you guys say that his messaging was more geared towards what he really wanted versus what he thought?
People wanted,
absolutely.
When in his first election, I'll tell you this: that I think he was still trying to figure out who he was.
Yeah,
and you saw that over time that he had to build who he was. He came to our meetings, tried to find out what we were, tried to find out what the Democrats were. But I can tell you, in the first district, we have a councilwoman who literally is a do nothing councilwoman. She does not do anything, and like Aaron said, she literally talks about stuff that happened 2 years ago that failed. And she acts like they were successes.
Yeah.
So we need someone like Aaron Chess in the first district badly.
Yeah,
And you live in the first
district. Yeah, I live in the first district.
So, yeah.
I mean, we've got a lot of problems in the first district. And we're talking a diverse district. I mean, we're downtown. Goes down into the North Valley, goes down to the south end of Peoria. So you've got a very diverse, different type of citizens, and we've got a lot of problems downtown. I mean, the other day I was walking down on the riverfront and almost stepped in human feces. Yeah. I mean, we've got serious problems we got to deal with.
Don't San Francisco my Peoria.
I know it. It's happening. I mean, it's insane. But it's we need people like Aaron who's going to tell it how it is and not just pretend that everything's okay.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. He seemed like just a guy who was trying to get elected
But now he actually has, you know, by the block. You know, he's saying about that.
It.
You know, when you asked him about, you know, wasteful spending, he sat down with the mayor. He sat down with other city council members. He's talking about programs that are ancient that need to go bye-bye. He is the real deal. So anything we can do to support this guy, I'm all for it. You know, the other thing about Aaron Chess, he got a lot of beef. And I met another candidate he's running against. And she pointed out, he went to a Trump rally. And I'm like, so I'm not a Trump.
Good.
I'm not a Trump fan,
right?
And I'm not a Biden fan. But you know what? Exposing yourself, you know, reading the literature or talking to people who are fans of that person can only make you more well-rounded.
Well, and I can tell you this: I've actually asked him. I was like, "So, are you a Trump supporter?" He's like, "No, I'm not necessarily a Trump supporter. There were some good things that he did, and I love that about Aaron Chess.
Yeah.
I wish that I was more open to going
right.
Things like
I'd be like, "I'm caught dead." There,
yeah,
right?
So I don't look at that as a bad thing, but he definitely took a lot of flack, and it was not good. So
yeah, I feel like it'll be ammunition, which is just—it's crazy. Yeah. The By the Block. So I was going to ask Aaron, but it didn't seem appropriate. There's a great documentary right now on Netflix. It's called Land Grab, and it's about Detroit having a similar situation where they bought property and they bulldozed houses. But the hardest thing to understand was the it's a us versus them. So people who live in those areas that are blighted, as they called them, and Aaron never used the word blight. I don't know if we're trying to avoid that word, but the blighted areas. People felt like people coming in and taking those properties and destroying them were taking their heritage, you know, and that's not the point of this. The point is to make it more successful and to make it more opportunity for businesses and other families and stuff like that.
And that's what politicians do, is they try to make the citizens feel like that people coming in, investing in the community are gentrifying the area.
Yeah.
And this is happening here in Peoria now. There's a councilman that tried to do a tax abatement in the first district. And what a tax abatement would basically be that, I think it's a 10-year abatement. For that long, the property value stays the same, even if you've improved the property value, so you don't pay as much in taxes.
Sure, sure.
So it's an incentive to invest. They're saying, well, they're going to gentrify the area. Are you kidding me? Do you think people are going to move from Chicago and this whole place is going to be a freaking hipster neighborhood? Come on.
I can tell you the riverfront does not lend itself to being a hipster neighborhood.
No.
That riverfront needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm going to even think about wanting to hang out down there.
Wasn't
there shootings under the bridge last year?
Yeah.
Four or five people. Couldn't you hear the gunshots?
It. Woke up, thought it was thunder, but it wasn't. It was gunshots.
Anyway, so... Aaron Chess will have a website out, I guess, next week, aaronchess.com. Mm-hmm. His website looks great. I saw the picture. I saw the glamour shots he was doing last week going around town. Like, I need to hire his guy.
Yeah.
Next time I run for any office, I'm going to get some pictures of me next to a corn stalk somewhere.
But definitely help him out, yeah.
Anyway, so... like I said, the next meeting is in February. It's on the 18th at W. Sullivan's. I don't know if there was much else we talked about on that. He wouldn't commit to the mayor thing. I asked him at the end, just hoping maybe throw it out there. But that's cool. Actually, he gave the best answer, a mature political answer. I want somebody who will work for the community, be honest.
Well, and understand that in Peoria, what happens with the mayor candidate is all the candidates get dwindled down to two in the primary.
I understand that. Yeah.
So if one of those people doesn't make it, he's already...
Yeah, he's out on a peninsula all by himself. Yeah.
So,
no thanks.
Smart move.
Yeah. All right, so can we get to the topics today? Is there anything else about the meeting we'll talk about?
No.
I will talk about this.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't.
You want me to talk about it?
Yeah, I guess.
You want to talk about yourself?
No, I don't want to. I think it's disingenuous not to say something about it.
Let me just give a background. So each year, and then Jake can talk about it. But we give out an award. It's an annual award to the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. I guess it's probably going to be to both counties now at this point. But but it's the David F. Rising Award, and David is one of our longest members. And when we all showed up, David was there.
He was there, yeah.
And he was just a guy that behind the scenes, he always showed up, was always there, was a placeholder for this party. He waited for the Liberty Movement, and so we award the greatest activist for the year. And so, Jake, tell everybody who it was.
Yeah, it was Mr. Eric Stahl.
Shocker.
And you know, when I got here tonight and Donna handed it to me to sign, you know, one of the last Greater Peoria awards, Eric doesn't think, he's like, oh, this is a total shock, right? It honestly was not a shock to anybody else. just because of the work you did in running for board in Tazewell County, and then you're here with your equipment to do a podcast. You're always present and always giving your liberty-minded opinion,
yeah,
and for the advancement of it. So it's no surprise to anybody.
It really is. And that. I'll just say this: that I was there when we were sweating our ass off getting petition signatures, campaigning, putting signs together, all the things that we had to do. I just couldn't be more proud of all the work that you did, and thankful for you as an activist and as a friend. I mean, it's huge.
Well, it's really huge, and I forgot you guys do this, honestly, because every year was this the third one?
Third year, yeah.
Third one.
Last year was it Dana?
Dama. Dama. Damon Dillon.
So 2 years ago, was it Dana?
It was Dana. I don't even know. I think it was Teresa Miller the year before, and then Dana the year. So we might have been in 4 years.
Dana won the state award.
The state award, she won a state award.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Well,
yeah.
Let's just pretend it was Dana. Anyway. The whole point being, when I see this award and we talk about this award, I think, oh, it's going to be somebody who's really doing tons of stuff and really is good at this. But I don't put myself in there. And I'm like, oh, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Because to me, I ran a failed campaign. I didn't get the job.
Oh, God.
Seriously. You know, but it never even crossed my radar. And I'm so humbled by it because when I think about the other people who've had the award in the past, I hold them at a higher standard. And for me to even be put up there, I guess it's kind of like an Oscar speech, but
yeah.
it is more humbling to be with that hallowed ground of those people. So that's what really thrills me the most about
you're
this.
In the books, and yeah. It's the last of Greater Peoria. So
yeah, I got that going for me.
Yeah.
Now I got to work on one for Tazewell County. Yeah, it would be a lot easier in Tazewell County, maybe. You know, the odds are much, much higher for us, Jake.
Yeah. Excuse me? Are you trying to hint at something?
I'm just saying you can step up now. Anyway.
You know, when you got a three-year-old.
Dude, yeah. You're doing a lot. That's why you might be the next guy in line. All right, so that was the meeting. The meeting was great. It was for a Zoom meeting and hopefully the last Zoom meeting for a long, long time. I think it was phenomenal.
Yep.
We ended on a high note. So in news, we did a podcast 2 weeks ago, talked about a lot of great stuff, but I mean, new stuff has happened.
Yeah.
I mean, the market has gone on its ear. We talked about earlier with GameStop and AMC and stuff like that, the short selling. Boy, what do you think about Liberty when it comes to the stock market, Donnie?
Well, it's just insane to me. And so I kind of talked about this in the meeting about the whole shorts and how these hedge fund managers have been doing this for years where they basically are borrow a stock and they sell it immediately at that price.
Poor hedge fund manager.
Yeah, poor hedge fund manager. And then they're betting that these companies are going to be driven in the ground. Yeah. And then they'll go on the news and try to drive these prices down through the media. And then when the little people turn it around on them, they're mad about it. I mean, it's just asinine. And so we're all thinking, ah, the little guy got one. And then all of a sudden, the big guy said, no, we're going to have the last laugh.
Yeah. They gave him, what, 2 days?
2 days, yeah.
2 days. And
have your fun.
And there are people that made the gamble. I look at it as really – the stock market's supposed to be a place where people can go, you get lucky – you plan, you have opportunity, and you also have risk, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's no different than going to Paradise Casino down here and someone wins $100,000. Mm-hmm. Well, why can't people do that with the stock market too, right?
And that's the big thing is that these hedge fund managers, they're taking a risk, but it's a risk that they know they're going to win on.
Yeah.
Us little guys, when we take that type of risk, like the people that the heroes that did this for on Reddit, the Reddit
yes.
heroes,
yeah.
These people, they ended up losing everything, but they actually took a risk and they won for once. You know, it's just
So my whole thing with Robinhood was I thought Robinhood was like this little upstart in the whole thing, and they weren't tied to the. I want to say the financial community, they could get away with murder, but they were the first ones to get roped down.
Their first tweet was, let the people trade.
Yeah.
You know,
I think if I said it in our meeting, you read the terms and conditions, it's a little more limited than, say, the old style of brokerage. Yeah. But the fact that they literally said, no, you can't trade these specific
stocks. Yeah, these
specific
stocks.
Yeah.
That shows you. You'll never. They were never predicting anyone to make any real money doing that. But the more people able to invest, what does it do? That's why we have record high stock market. It isn't millionaire investors. People putting off $5 here.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they do that a million times. A million more people who would have never been in the stock market. Well, that helps everybody.
And
you get those people engaged all of a sudden going, oh, wait a second, I just got a stimulus check. And that was the whole big thing, I think. People decided, I don't know, if Reddit and all the social media, well, I'll take my $600 and just go kapow. And they turned it into, in some cases, tens of thousands. Some people were talking about how they hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Bought houses.
And they bought houses. They paid off their student loans. Well, hell, who needs student loan debt if you allow people to play the game? We all have to be able to play the game.
Well, and let's be very clear that Robinhood didn't do this because they thought it was the right thing to do. It was because someone pressured them to.
Yeah.
Oh. And I'll leave that to suspicious minds of who that was. But clearly it was the government and obviously big banks.
Well, I watched the head of NASDAQ on News Today, and she basically said that this obscene valuation is obviously an aberration, and it makes no economical sense. But then, I point this out like two or three times. Tesla makes no sense.
No sense.
Tesla's valued more than any other company in the world.
Yeah.
Every auto manufacturer put together is worth less than Tesla. And you mean to tell me that Elon Musk talking and all these speculators dragging that stock through the roof isn't just as asinine as GameStop?
Yeah, it's insane.
But it's different. It's different this time.
Yeah,
right? Because institutional investors are involved, that's why.
And look,
there you go. Bingo, bango.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I pay someone to invest for me. Yeah. That's what you should do. And if you're taking tips from someone on TV or someone from Reddit, it's probably not going to end well for you long term. But at the same time, let the people do it.
Right. That's the person who goes to a casino. Let them do it.
Yeah, maybe they'll win.
Maybe they'll win.
Yeah.
More likely lose.
But we found out the house always wins.
The house always wins.
Right. All right, so moving on. Have you guys followed any of the royal decrees from the current president?
The decrees. I started thinking England. I was like, no, that's us.
But real quick, do you guys think that this is... I think that this has now basically... is now the normal of what the presidents are going to do.
But
are they going to legislate anything that stays? Because
the answer is no. Only if they have a supermajority in Congress and they get everything through very easily.
Otherwise, every 4 years, we're going to
have flip-flops. Yeah.
But this is unprecedented. I mean, we're talking like 20, did, I think 20 or something.
I thought he did 19, and the most anyone ever did was like Obama with two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a whole nother level, and I think it's just a sign of where we are. And we've been talking about this as libertarians for a long time, that if that's the case, if we have a president that can write laws, then he's not a president, he's a king.
Yeah.
And so we've got to be very afraid of this.
Yeah. Well, they can already start wars all by themselves.
That's the tip of the iceberg, right? I mean, holy crap. Yeah,
they can mandate insurance, they can do everything.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us back to the meeting of the meme that won was the extinct anti-war Democrats.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
Anyone that pretends to be one, guess what? You're not.
The anti-war Democrats are those friends that you have where you're about to get into a fight and you're talking shit to someone and they were standing there and all of a sudden you look back and they're gone. It's like, we're fighting the beast.
Yeah.
We had them and then they're gone. They're nowhere to be seen.
Yeah,
in fact, they're on the other fucking side.
Yeah,
now.
Right.
I mean, it's like... Yeah.
All right, I condemn that kind of language. Sorry.
Oh, explicitly. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. All right, so moving on. The impeachment of the vacated president of the United States. What are we doing here? Rand Paul put it up to a vote, if they even thought it was legal. And everything I'm reading is it's not legal to impeach a president that's already out.
Well, it's showboat, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's a showboat, media, fun to talk about. Oh.
Are we just going to skip over the fact that the impeachment was a farce?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the fact that they impeached him for basically talking.
Yeah.
I mean, is ridiculous. And I'm no Trump supporter. I'm not trying to, like, defend him. I don't really care.
Well, I don't think he did anything to stop the Capitol riots.
No.
I think, as a matter of fact, after watching Donald Jr. here in the last day, I think Donald Jr. loves it.
Oh.
Like, I think there's blood all over his hands.
And don't get me wrong. I think Trump loved it. That means you're very special. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what he said about it. Very special.
Very special to me.
But yeah, there's no constitutional basis on this. Yeah. The person is out of office. Yeah. And it's just the fact that they're doing it is a waste of time. And by the way, I just want to mention that we have a lot of problems that maybe we should work on.
Yeah.
You know?
So Tulsi Gabbard was on Joe Rogan.
Okay.
Great, great show, because it was just recorded a couple days ago. And she talked about a lot about things that are going on in the world that we're not talking about, because the media has a real problem right now with letting go of the Trump ratings. They use Trump to get those ratings every day. There's a new scandal. There's a new thing Trump is doing. And now that he's gone, they're having to figure out ways to get ratings. So now we got to, it's like digging up a dead person and attacking him again.
Oh, man. Who's going to be the new villain? Because if Trump goes away, if he just goes quietly and plays golf and enjoys his life, what are they going to do? Well, even the nighttime shows, their material's still Trump. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, what are they going
to
do?
And that's what Gabbard got to. You know, she's like, North Korea has more nukes now than it's ever had. They got a nuclear submarine. You know, she was talking about how in Hawaii there were people who were having to pick between which one of their kids they want to be with when the bomb scare went off there a year ago.
Oh,
you know, but everybody's worried about Trump. She's like, we got other problems in this world. Can we stop talking about this?
Yeah, well, and I also would want to mention that, and she talks about this all the time, we're literally murdering people in the United States name right now. Innocent people.
Yeah.
And we just sit here like, oh, well, Trump's the biggest problem.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, I have had a problem. Well, Ron Paul got banned from Twitter. Don't figure that out.
Right.
But Rand Paul, I kind of felt like he was being an apologist to Trump, but I really do feel like he is going on a constitutional bend that he feels like everything's twisted. I don't think he has any allegiance to anybody. He's literally running to the beat of his own drum right now. He wants to go after states right now that maybe change election laws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved when. So, did you guys see the interview he did with George Stephanopoulos?
It was
brilliant.
No, it was brilliant.
Amazing.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
And he basically said, "You need to remember your role here.
Yeah, you're an independent commentator in this conversation. You didn't put me up against somebody who's has a differing opinion.
Yeah,
you put me up here to argue with
you.
Me,
interjected yourself into this,
yeah.
And it was just awesome because he was saying, you know. There's absolutely were problems with the election. We all know that.
Yes.
Everyone who's honest with themselves knows that there's issues with elections.
I don't think it was stolen. I think there's problems with every election.
Yeah, and he's just saying that this is something that we need to look into.
Yeah.
And George Stephanopoulos is like, no, there's nothing wrong with the election.
Yeah, Stephanopoulos, who watches these goons? I don't know, man.
I mean,
you guys did.
Well,
yeah.
I watched a clip.
I need to, though.
I watched a clip on social media.
Clip, too.
I remember back in the day, I would sit down on Sunday mornings, and I would watch like 2 or 3 hours of these news programs.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. But now those news programs are every night.
So I wasn't like that. I would watch, in Sunday mornings, I would watch Sunday Morning on CBS, which was a news show that was completely apolitical.
With the bald guy.
With the bald guy,
and, yeah.
And now it's Gene or Jane Pauley.
Okay, yeah.
But anyways. Yeah. And it is now become.
It was
political.
Nice. It was like
beautiful.
Great. It was great news.
And it even ended with like a serene, serene nature environment.
Yeah, you're right.
But now it's political.
Yeah.
You can't even watch that anymore. I don't know where we're going with this, but it's to the point where it's impossible to watch. You know. So.
It doesn't matter because I heard today, and I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but the whole election was on a green screen.
Okay. Yeah.
And for some reason. The decrees, I want to say, I keep calling them decrees.
That's what they are.
They haven't shown up in law yet, so that means they're fake.
Okay.
And that on March 3rd, Donald Trump is back in office.
Oh, my God.
This is your moment of QAnon.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, did you hear that, someone's dead, right? Isn't there a bunch of people that are dead?
I heard that Angela Merkel is a shapeshifter today.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard that one yet.
I have not heard that one.
Okay. All right.
But to this, Trump will be back March 3rd.
Yeah, there's nothing either.
I keep telling people, you can tell crazy people that they're crazy, but, no one listens. But when a crazy person like Alex Jones
says
I keep
crazy.
Going back to that rant, and I keep thinking, well,
all I can say is that they're desperate. And when you look at what Joe Biden's doing, I'm like sitting here like, well, I hope they're right.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm watching Joe Biden like, well.
I mean, I gain money on the transactions, but yeah, I give the money back. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to get Trump in there, but we look at what's rolled out here, the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah.
There's been a couple things that have gone on that he's just thrown out there.
Paris Climate Accord.
But yeah, those jobs are gone, like, right now, right? Like, that is real. So what's the basis of all these things are being said, but nothing's a law, but real things are happening to people?
Yeah. I'm more terrified by who he's appointing. You know, his Secretary of Defense is a board member of Raytheon. You know, Janet Yellen. I mean, just down the line, his entire...
First female, Donnie.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's the thing, is you can't really say anything. You're like, well, he's a female. Oh, he's a black guy. Oh, great. Well, he's going to murder brown people. So
okay, the one that galled me, too, was I'm not trying to be a bigoted or anything like that, but the transsexuals in the female sports.
Yeah.
And Tulsi Gabbard has been pitching hard on that one, too. It's ridiculous. Of course, there was some film of a 6'2 man girl that was running around playing floor hockey or something like that, and just destroying all the other girls around her, and it's like this is an aberration. So.
Well, and even his health secretary is trans.
Oh.
But here's the thing about it: I didn't care that it was
I don't care either.
He was trans. It was that she was extremely obese.
Oh,
our health secretary.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like thinking like, what is going on? But the last thing I'll say is on the trans thing. I served with someone who was transgender in the military. Amazing security forces, just as tough as anyone else.
Sure.
They can serve just as well as anyone. But the problem that I have is that they shouldn't be treated any differently than anyone else.
Yeah.
And if their medical condition, because really it becomes a medical condition when they transition, if that prevents them from deploying or being effective in the field, then obviously they can't serve.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing. We shouldn't be paying, the taxpayer shouldn't be paying for sex changes. You know, all of those things that go with it.
Well, you don't want to look into the prison system then to see how many you're actually paying for.
I know. It's insane. I mean, it's just...
As somebody who knows people who work in that industry, you're paying for it right now.
But
a couple dozen in the state.
It's just that it just seems that if you don't, you have to toe the liberal line of saying that I accept it no matter what it comes to.
I accept it. I think my biggest problem is, as somebody who has kids still in high school and participated in sports, if you had a kid, a genetically female child, mm-hmm. and she was going to state for hurdles or something like that, and she was the best.
Yeah.
And then two kids show up that were boys when they were born.
Yeah.
And they're 6 inches taller, and they got a lot of testosterone. Your daughter, who worked her whole life and is hoping to get maybe a scholarship for hurdles.
Yeah, not anymore.
She's nuked by these guys.
South Park hit this completely.
I've never seen this.
So basically the Macho Man Randy Savage transitioned.
And
won the woman decathlon or whatever it was, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, but well, we'll reference South Park. Yeah, I mean, we don't normally go by policy of South Park, but sometimes they're dead on, like the Simpsons.
Yeah. Simpsons and South Park, you know? If you have so many episodes of something, you're going to be right at some point.
Well, sometimes parody is the truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, people are afraid to say the truth, so they parody it, but you're like, oh, well, that's pretty dead on. So anyway, I will leave you this last thing, guys, and I'm not trying to be insultive to the new president. Is that a word, insultive? I'm not sure.
It is now.
But I know I see a lot of people every day. I see 40, 50 people a day. And I know 75-year-olds. I knew 80-year-olds. My grandmother, she's 88. But I know one thing. I get those people at 7:30 in the morning, and if they're not out of there by 10 o'clock, their world's melting away. I'm trying to figure out how we keep getting in this rut where we got late 70s people running for office. The president, we've seen documentation over the years. We've watched Clinton. We've watched Bush. We've watched Obama. We've watched their physique change. We've watched their hair fall out of their head.
Well, it's a thing. People have pictures of Abraham Lincoln when he first got to office versus right before he died.
So think of the most active 78-year-old you know in your life. I mean, they're great. They're like, oh, yeah, up and at him. But you got 2 or 3 hours. Two or three hours tops, man. And then they need a nap. I mean, they're hanging slack-jawed, drooling on themselves. There is no way we can keep electing people in their late 70s for these offices. You can't expect they can do this job as a full-time job.
It's insane.
I don't know why they even want to do it.
Yes. And none of these people, here's the thing, in this country you can't run for office if you don't have a lot of money. So it's not like these people can't retire and enjoy their lives. Who wants to spend the last time of their life dealing with that shit?
I think that we'll go to that the John McCain, basically we're going to pitch the oldest guy who's been in line for so long to be president. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure they really thought that he could win. And yeah. I think that COVID probably kicked it up to a point where Joe Biden could probably win. But I would think a year ago when Biden was kind of sliding in there, they didn't really – and I think they pushed him up there like, hey, Joe, it's your turn.
Yeah.
But he's really just a middle-of-the-road guy who doesn't offend anybody for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it was just like his turn will put him up there. If they really wanted to win and they thought they had a shot at Trump, I think they would have put somebody more compelling.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they shut her down. She was a Russian operative. Yeah. Remember?
She single-handedly destroyed – Harris's run.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now Harris is vice president.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you watch the debate where they allowed Tulsi to debate,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was 2-3 sentences, and Kamala's entire race squashed.
Gone. Yeah, yeah.
And then, poof, she's back.
Well,
that's why she won't be in the anywhere in the White House, I'm sure.
Well, and she may be the president before this is all over.
No, I'm talking about Tulsi.
Oh, Tulsi, yeah. Tulsi won't be anywhere near there. So
I wish she would consider going to an independent.
Well, they've talked about the unity ticket of Justin Amash and Tulsi Gabbard.
I had somebody walk up to me the day, and they said, do you know about this Justin Amash guy? I think I kind of like him. This guy's not a libertarian.
Hello,
nothing about,
wake up.
Yeah, I'm like, awesome, awesome. Yeah. I don't know where you saw him. Don't know what you saw, but...
I don't want to get too off, you know, our script here, but that's one of the big things that's going to happen in our party is we're going to have this decision of whether we're going to be a... you know, libertarian, where we believe in government, you know, some limited government, or we move into this anarchist type party that takes us the far off the deep end. And that's the battle for the heart and soul is going to happen when Amash runs for president.
Yeah.
And so,
do you think there's enough people that believe that some government, the libertarian side of it, right, where their government, you have to have a government, right? Do you think that there's enough people that can overpower the people who think in this party that they're important? And do you know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing is that I got a little flack. I actually had Spike Cohen, our vice presidential candidate, call me out on it. And I made a comment online and I said that I believe that the Libertarian Party is not a place for anarchism.
Yeah.
And I believe that our government, that we are a party in a constitutional republic, and at the end of the day that we believe that there should be a limited government to protect our natural rights. And if we go to anarchy, this is what happens. The cycle starts again. We go from anarchy to a monarchy, because in an anarchist society, the people with the most power, the most wealth, get to take the rights of the...
Well, as you're saying, someone ends up being the monarchy by default.
And then we go back to...
They'll be satiated by it. They'll be happy to have somebody finally take control of the situation.
Right. Yeah. So I guess that's the thing, is that there are a lot of people in our party that believe that the answer is no state. And I think that there's no perfect government, but the best government is a limited government, because we have to have some sort of basis of protecting natural rights. We've talked about the John Locke thing. Mm-hmm. John Locke said in his treatise that we have these God-given natural rights to life, liberty, and property, and we form a government so that the majority can't take those from the minority. And I think that's the Justin Amash approach. And then you go over and you have these other people that believe that there should be no government. And that we should say radical things, and we should be this,
wear a boot on our head.
Yeah, wear a boot on our head. Yeah. And that's what we're going to fight against. So, yes, Justin Amash is refreshing, and I'm hoping. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that if we can get a Justin Amash, Tulsi Gabbard ticket, we'd win.
And if we can get the Reddit crowd behind us.
That's also what we need. Yes.
We just need one post, guys.
Yes. We can fundraise through the Reddit. Let's get a stock.
Anyway, that's all I got for this episode, guys. You got anything else?
No, I think I've...
No.
All right. Well, this concludes this episode of Liberty Plays Podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. You can always stop by the website, libertyplays.com. Mostly it's just a placeholder for the podcast. I did write a nice article about the social media egg basket like 2 years ago, and guess what? It was dead on then.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We need to get back on that.
Yeah. It's like The Simpsons.
Yeah
you were right.
Yeah, I was right. It can be, you know, they say the sun shines on a dog's butt like twice a day. Or
yeah, how's that work? Clock's right twice a day. Broken pot. More appropriate.
Anyway, so for the Liberty Place podcast, my name is Eric Stahl.
Jacob Irish.
Donnie Henry.
We'll see you next time. Thanks.
That's it for this month's episode. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast catcher. For more information on this show or any other subjects we talked about, check out our Facebook page or libertyplays.com. We'll be back next month with more liberty in podcast form. Remember, kids, taxation is theft.